story one. Yeah, I mean, I was just talking about pants, so I don't know, maybe that could be. Either we can put little, how to say, teasers for the future volumes or books or whatever, or story parts. And then in the first one, and then we'll develop the, from that perspective fully in the next, in that one that it refers to. So whatever, pants, the thing there with, we can show how things developed, how capitalism developed, or tends to develop within everything, and we take the, this music as an example, because I just watched a YouTube video by, what's his name again? Rick Beato. It's called How Corruption and Greed Led to the Downfall of Rock Music. Very interesting how it developed through the years. It started then, you know, those like Beatles and just bands getting together and playing rock and roll and pop, whatever it was called. And the kids there liked it. They were on stage and, yeah, good music. So then this suited, I mean, the man in the suit comes in, that wild kid's hall, smoke in the air and spotlights and dancing and really, wow, life here. This is what kids like today? Okay. Seems like they like this one, this band here. And then they come up with this smart idea, of course. How to make money on this. We do this way, that way. And the way that then is invented, and which, I mean, we could research this more because I didn't understand it in detail, but they have the studio, of course. And the studio needs equipment. And this and that. So, of course, that's the first step. There's this little studio down there, around the corner. You can pay so and so much and record a record. Of course, how to make it into a record is next step. Yeah, we have the equipment of another company over there. So we'll do it. Yeah. So they make their, release their record, maybe 100 copies even or something, and sell to friends and so on. And then, wow, gets played on the local radio station and they get start to get famous in the town. And the more kids come to their concerts and they're being invited here and there, even to other towns, and they share the records with other disc jockeys and other local radios. That's how I understand from the scene there in America especially. And this way it goes. But then these record companies, of course, they come up with all kinds of new things. You can have these tours. We travel, take you all around the country, can play in all the cities on many stages and draw a huge audience. And we get paid by for each seat, not just a bunch of kids in a hall as it used to be. We can do big concert halls, tennis halls, football stadiums. You see, that's the way it went. And why did it grow like that? Because then this band, you know, and it's all thanks to amplifiers. They're so damn loud. You have this business guys up there talking. What's the matter? And then a smart guy comes and says, but that means we can put them in a big hall. Just look here, it's just math. We can fit in 1,000 people in this hall and they each pay so much, and wow. So we just take our band around there with trucks, and we're in a bus, put their instruments in the back. Away, there you go, on tour. And then all this is managed by the, of course, the manager and the other people appearing on top there, producers and this and that, all kinds of titles are invented. And this is where Rick Beato comes in. They start talking about the mid-90s, how rock music died. So what happened then? Because what became very important was the radio. If you got played in the radio because you were popular, then you got more popular, and radio was very powerful. I don't know still, but... And so the local radio stations play that record. And then this is why I thought it could be included in a story somewhere or other. I just wanted to at least document it while I have it in some kind of clear mind here. He told that story that, yeah, it used to be that you had a record company. The local record companies, right? And then local radio stations. And in each one, there was someone, producer or whatever, who decided what music should be played on that radio station. And then another town, there was another radio station with other people deciding what the DJ should play and so on. But then, some smart guy comes in there from the band, the band's manager, or no, could be actually the record company. Yeah, this smart guy from the record company with a cigar in his mouth. And he says, got this new record here from my wonderful band here, you know. They are great, aren't they? Yeah, well, never heard of them, but still, well, you know. Well, you know, how about this? Each time you play this record here on your radio station, we give you a little extra bonus, you know. Never hurts, right? Take a little extra vacation now and then and buy yourself a good car. Because, you know, you don't get much paid sitting there playing records on a local radio station. Yeah, sure. So in this way, that was included in the marketing. Strategies, and you started making bands big in that way by smart money means. And then you have the studios who record all that. Of course, they're connected there in a record company. The producers, they have the equipment, and then they rent that out to the studio. However he explained it. All these people involved with the, everybody wanted to be involved with the production of a record, right? So you have the band there, and then all these, the producer there in the studio, owning the rack here and there, and this amplifier there and there, and this fine microphone with all that is mine, and he rents them out to this, to the studio, who then you know, charges the record company, and those people there, the studio, the producer, the this and the that, the mixer, they're all kind of part of the same team there, just sharing the cake, so to speak. So when a record is sold, this is actual numbers that Rick Beato worked in this industry. It's interesting to hear these people gave. He said that if you sell a record for like $10, the artists, the band, whatever, get $0.9. And the rest, you know, it's just a matter of producing a record, which is what they do. It's the music that is worth something. The rest is, in the old days, a piece of plastic and a cover of paper to put them in. No big deal to produce. But in this way, they bake all these inflated costs, quote unquote, into the whatever they can find there in the studio, or for the production, and this way it costs a lot, and so on. We can just show this, can study it more, how there are all these people there grabbing a piece of that cake, and then the band stands there, and what to do now? They are artists. They want to make some music, but then gradually, all that work of even writing the songs, arranging the music, playing the music, is done by songwriters who are not part of the band, or not the artists themselves. They're writing hit songs for different artists, session musicians working for studios, playing the music, studio technicians, arrangers who come up with this or that beat there, or sound there, or it's more and more being produced by in a factory, and the band or the artist is just part of the product. Let's find someone, oh, that person, she can sing well. And then we have this coach, that coach, we can train her to really, to dance also and to sing it just right. No, not like that. Should be like this. Here are your songs. Learn them by heart. Learn to sing them well. And look right on the stage. Yeah, that's good. Now let's record a record. Here are your musicians. Here are your technicians. Now just be a good girl, do a good job, don't take too many drugs or come here drunk, and it's all going to be fine. I mean, I know girls actually who was kind of in that game, and I think I understood although not explicitly mentioned, that there are all kinds of other services included if you want to become a big star, if you're a girl. Services rendered to those cool and influential and powerful and rich record company top people, guys there. So, big mess. And this way we show, and then it continued, that the radio stations, some companies, they started buying up more and more, so they could have like 100 radio stations. And then they put the, it's interesting this, I think, and the programmer who decided what music should be played on that radio, on all those 100 radio stations, was just one person from the same company, which means that that person became extremely important for the, I mean, the record companies were then ready to pay a lot to that person. So they became really rich. And in this way, the whole thing there grew, just powered by money, just a money-making machine, just another one. And again, as long as it sells, it's good, right? So they were pumping out new bands and artists, and this is, it's like a machine. Same with the film industry. And we can show this, again, maybe as part of the decadence. Show it just here and there. Same thing, same principle. And it's all the money maker persons behind it who come creeping in there, and they flick up some little pile of dollars in front of you, and you go, yeah, NASA, I will work for you and sign your contract. And that way it goes. And in all of this, and this is our story here, I mean, we can weave it in somehow or other, I think, because it kind of is part of this whole thing there, how a society, when it loses the higher ideals and virtues and like that, meaning, and just dives down into this passion and ignorance, Raja and Tama, how it then develops in this way. It just becomes, in the end, a hunger game, basically. People who are just churning their money-making machines and enjoying and stepping out there into these. I mean, what is it called? Wolf on Wall Street? That environment there. Complete decadence. There's sex and cocaine and this and that and crazy. And they become more and more crazy. And of course, the musicians there, the super-duper artists, which became super-duper because someone good at making money and selling things and marketing things made them that. And in this way, made even so much more money. So these companies they're behind, and they become bigger and bigger and eat up each other. It's all a predator jungle. And that's what's going on. Humanity, or that part of humanity, is just sliding down into predator and parasite mode of living, of being. And of course, why do you think there are all these beings out there in nature? You want to be one of those, then this is the path for you. So we put it that way.